If this was to be the end of her people, she would bear witness. She could do that much. "We cannot hold the beach," he told her. "We have to retreat to the ships. We have to relaunch them." "No, I won't go back on the water. The rest of the fleet will be here soon." "Families, children, the old and infirm, not fighters, not gifted." Tefa hadn't turned. She couldn't face him, not yet.
"It's beautiful here," she told him. "Hotter than Osonte, but beautiful. Look."
She pointed to the mountains in the distance.
"We landed on a peninsula bordered and bisected by mountains. It's defensible, arable. We could make a home here, couldn't we? A home for my people."
She faced him. His presence comforted her. Champion Siori, so strong and loyal. He made her feel safe, loved. She wished she could do the same for him. His brows were knitted and sweat beaded on his shaved head. He had been near the front lines, fighting. She hated that, but he was her champion, and she could not ask him to stay with her on a beached ship while her people, his soldiers, died. He shifted and made to speak. She didn't want to hear it. No more reports. No more talk of the strange gifts these savages wielded against her kind.
"The Malawa arrived a few sunspans ago," she told him. "My old nursemaid was on board. She went to the goddess before it made ground."
"Sanura's gone. My queen, I'm so—"
"Do you remember how she'd tell the story of the dog that bit me when I was a child?"
"I remember hearing you bit it back and wouldn't let go. Sanura had to call the queen's guard to pull you off the poor thing."
Tefa turned back to the beach, filled with the dead and dying in their thousands.
"Sanura went to the goddess on that ship, never knowing we found land, never knowing we escaped the call. They couldn't even burn her properly."
The battle seemed louder.
"I won't go back on the water."
"Then we die on this beach."
The moment had arrived. She wished she had the courage to face him for it.
"The gifted, the ones with the forward scouts, sent word. They found the rage."
Tefa pointed to the horizon, past the slaughter, steeling herself.
"They are nested in the central mountains, the ones dividing the peninsula, and one of the dragons has just given birth. There is a youngling, and I will form a coterie."
"No," he said, "not this, Tefa."
She could hear his desperation. She would not let it sway her.
"These savages, how can we make peace if we do this to them?" Siori said.
But the argument wasn't enough to change her mind, and he must have sensed that.
"We were only to follow them," he said. "If we use the dragons, we'll destroy this land. If we use the dragons, the call will find us."
That sent a chill through her. Tefa was desperate to forget what they'd run from, and aware that could she live 1,000 cycles, she never could.
"Can you hold this land for me, my champion?"
she asked, hating herself for making this seem his fault, his shortcoming.
"I cannot."
"Then,"
she said, turning to him,
"the dragons will."
Siori wouldn't meet her eyes. That was how much she'd hurt him, how much she'd disappointed him.
"Only for a little while," she said,
trying to bring him back to her.
"Too little for the call to notice, and just long enough to survive."
"Tefa,
a short while."
She reached up and touched his face.
"I swear it on my love for you."
She needed him and felt fragile enough to break. But she was determined to see her people safe first.
"Can you give us enough time for the coterie to do their work?"
Siori took her hand and raised it to his lips.
"You know I will."
Champion Siori. Siori stared at the incomplete maps laid out on the command tent's only table. He tried to stand tall, wanting to project an image of strength